when this tears go and fall away, oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I came.
What's up, everybody? Happy hump day. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm not sure what you saw last night, but boy, that was weird, wasn't it? I don't even know, like, presidential address to a joint session of Congress, the first one out of any administration. Generally a message of, here's what I'm going to do. Let's bring everybody together. I'm a president for all people. Not so much yesterday. It was more like a campaign rally. Very bizarre. I personally didn't like the behavior of the Democrats at the beginning. Like, jeering doesn't actually help public policy at all. It just makes you look juvenile. Also equally offensive, the Republicans then lambasting the Democrats from doing so, as if they don't remember people shouting out from their side of the aisle back during the Obama administration, all sorts of things. And that Cruella de Vil moment from Marjorie Taylor Greene a few years back. Whew, they sure do have some short memories. Anyways, y'all, we'll get to all of that. But it is Wednesday. It is 2 p.m. And so I'm really excited to be joined by my colleague here at Civic Media, Gray Gunderson from Park Falls. It's great to have you back, Gray, for a little bit of what's going on in your neck of the woods.
Thanks for having me back again, Maggie. Glad to be here. And apologies. I know my audio might be a bit interesting. There's a foot of snow everywhere within 50 miles of here. So I'm in my home office today that does not have the carpeted walls that I normally call home. But my literal home, a little less prepared for it. But we're ready to rock anyway. We're here.
We are sure ready to rock. It has gone from wet and dreary to blustery and snowy here in my neck of the woods, Gray. But I wanted to start with a bit of these impacts of Trump. I'm just going to call it willy-nilly sort of a systemless cuts to things. You had pointed out as we are preparing for this segment that it looks like DOGE is going to dismantle one of the federal offices in Wisconsin. In Ashland, it's the Ashland Bureau of Indian Affairs. That's going to be shuttered by August. Tell us more about that, Gray.
So basically, I was able to find information confirming that the lease for the Bureau of Indian Affairs office in Ashland will close. And that's really the full stop. The lease is going to be terminated. There's something around 40 full-time employees who work with the Bureau of Indian Affairs and do a lot of work there on behalf of our Native American constituents and in the area, of course. But here's the thing. Those jobs have not received any clarity. Those human beings and their roles and their incomes have not been secured or confirmed as cuts. So these people, all they know is that the building I do my job in will be closed at the end of August. And that's, if you check on that article, you'll see the people are discussing, I don't know if we're going to go to a new building or not. 40 full-time employees, all they know, no more lease. You can't tell me that speaks of anything less than the worst planning ever, or at best, a spectacle for spectacle's sake. Planning, it's not. This is obviously not the fruition of a well-thought-out, reasonable plan. So what's the actual goal?
Like, you shouldn't be hearing that the office in which you work is being shuttered because some random unelected bureaucrat in Washington posts a list of federal office closures somewhere on the interwebs, and you get called up because some, eager beaver reporter finds out that your office is, which is basically what's happened. They have no word about whether or not their jobs will exist. Plus, as I understand it, Gray, that particular federal office is heavily used by our First Nation, Native American friends and colleagues and co-workers in that northern part of the state. It's essential as a touch point for their interactions with the federal government, is it not?
Yes. You hear about the Bureau of Indian Affairs and immediately you're brought back to seventh grade history class when you're talking, you're talking about the Trail of Tears and you're talking about smallpox blankets. It's a really difficult thing, I think, for the average I mean, I'll say it, for the average white person in America to understand what role the Bureau of Indian Affairs actually plays, because most of the time when we're hearing about it, we're hearing about it as a matter of political speech from other groups who are discussing it or using it as some sort of leverage in some political game or goal, like is exactly what we're seeing now. It's really easy to forget that people who live in this country depend on the Bureau of Indian Affairs for their relationship with the government, which is still massively complex. I submit my income taxes each April. They send me my return or lack thereof. That's about the only interaction I have with the federal government. My life is not overseen in the same way that any Native Americans is, which, by the way, the definition of privilege, my ethnicity isn't discussed in popular culture. That's nice. That's a nice thing that I don't know what it looks like not to be like that. That's privilege right there. I don't get discussed in the way. There's no Bureau of White Affairs. That's a privilege.
I couldn't agree with you more. Another construction that I like to say about privilege: if you think something's a problem, if you think something's not a problem simply because you haven't experienced it, that's another expression of privilege. Like, oh, well, I don't know anything about that. Well, it must not exist. We've digressed, Gray, because there are some other closings that DOGE has taken credit for. I just want to summarize the closings, but there's one that maybe DOGE got a little ahead of itself in taking credit for. Apparently, both the FDA and some Social Security Administration offices are being closed in Wauwatosa, Green Bay, and Wausau. So those closures reaching again across the state. And also the Defense Contract Management Agencies in Milwaukee. That office is closing, along with the Federal Highway Administration office in Madison. But there's a little wrinkle. DOGE claiming credit for apparently shuttering a Defense Contract Management Agency office in Merrill. But there's more to the story, isn't there, Gray?
Yes, top-notch reporting from the Wausau Daily Herald, the local paper, a reporter by the name of Eric Fance. I want to give him a shout-out because he nailed this actually back all the way in January, around the time that DOGE was really in the very beginning stages of entering the public opinion. But what Eric Fance caught was that one of the things on the Great Wall of Receipts, as it's been called, all of the money that DOGE is reporting to have saved the American taxpayers and the American economy, one of the things on that list of receipts was a building that was scheduled to close before DOGE ever existed. The closure for that building, that Department of Defense Contract Management Agency building in Merrill, their closure was scheduled before DOGE was spoken about in public. So for DOGE to claim that they saved those costs, I mean, is a pretty obvious error at best. I'll put it that way. It's a pretty obvious error at best. And I'm not benefit of the doubting right now. I don't play that game right now. I'm out of benefits.
Yeah, the wall of receipts isn't really that. It's just like a list of random things with arbitrarily listed financial figures with no why is the math. That it's very confusing. And lots of these sorts of items, Gray, have come out where they've claimed X turns out to not have anything to do with DOGE, or in fact, it was a complete and total fabrication. In fact, the five largest cost-cutting measures that DOGE claimed to have accomplished magically disappeared from that wall of receipts about three business days after they were posted. Weird how that's been working. Again, if these are such big savings, if it's so fabulous, I mean, don't just put a list out there on the interwebs. Actually give us the detail, you know, an audit trail of sorts.
Yes. The audit trail, some actual accountability. I mean, if there's fraud, why is there nobody being prosecuted for all of this fraud? Obviously, the fraud that's being stopped now is the result is where all this money's coming from, right? So there was fraud happening. So there was crime happening. So who is committing the crime and what are we doing to those people?
An NBC correspondent asked the press secretary that question. I think I've got the sound floating around here somewhere. We'll see if we can find it. But the answer was completely hilarious. She basically said, "Oh, that's a really good question," and then just kind of fumbled around with it. That's the thing that I think is so misleading to people. I am never going to say that government works exactly as it should in all situations, not even close. Do we need to be looking at potentially reducing real estate footprints? you know, are people are we being as efficient as we should? How do we measure that? How do we measure effectiveness? What is extra or unneeded, right? There are ways to approach those problems. And in fact, professional auditors have ways to analyze those things. This ain't that. There's nothing of the sort. And so we're in this very weird space where what's being claimed may not in fact be what is happening in reality. And I think there are lots of indicators that it's not. I think we deserve better. We deserve actual efficiency and accountability and transparency from the very quasi federal department that claims to be doing just that. You know, as I always like to say, who polices the police? Who audits the auditors? Who watches the watchers? Greg Gunderson joins me every Wednesday at the top of the show at 2 p.m. He's going to come back after these brief messages for more of what's going on in your neck of the woods. We got some fun stories as well to lighten up the mood this Wednesday afternoon, folks. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I want to give folks a little tease, Gray, about what we've got coming up next. Have you done something real stupid, like when you were in high school, maybe? I mean, real dumb. Not per se dangerous, but just not the most considered thing. Maybe in a fit of competitive spirit that might be a little ill-placed. Well, we got just a similar story. I guarantee it might put a smile and maybe a little bit of queasiness in your stomach when we come back. I know it had me chuckling, Gray, and I had a little story that I want to share with everybody about, you know, a couple of 2-3 stupid things I might have pulled back when I was in high school. I hope you've got a personal story to share as well.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to join this conversation about what's going on in your neck of the woods, by all means, give us a jangle or a text, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. I'll be back with more of my fabulous colleague, Greg Gunderson, for today's edition of Your Neck of the Woods after these brief messages right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Follow away, oh, may the last one burn into flame.